Hey, y'all.
¿Qué lo que? And I was trying to get her to like route somewhere one day, like for lunch.
Sucks. You were talking. So I was talking to Siri.
Oh my God. We've reached a new low.
Anyway, what'd she say?
She was, so, I kept trying to like press the button to like speak and it wouldn't register. And then I just stopped. And then I was like, man, fuck Siri. And then, and like, it was record, it was like listening. And Siri was like, sorry, I will not respond to that. I was like, all right, you uppity bitch.
And meanwhile, I'm over here like, I respect that. Should we?
I wasn't even talking to you, Siri.
That's funny. I'm surprised since we're both working on Max right now, she hasn't popped up.
Yeah.
She knows her place.
But you say her name like Candyman and she will appear. She will show up.
That's funny. Well, before we get off on a Siri tangent, let's actually tell the listeners what we're actually talking about.
We should probably get started, right?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get this done.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Y'all, Que Lo Que, the podcast where we talk about cultural similarities, the challenges of getting older, and meeting each other along the way. We are your humble host. Back again, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And this week, what are we talking about, Liz?
We are talking about food, y'all. We're talking about comida. The food that, like, that we grew up on. The food that's, like, really popular in our cultures.
And not for nothing, but we mad anxious for Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
We just, you know,
we're hungry.
This is how we're coping until next week.
Right. So we got one more week until we actually get to celebrate Thanksgiving. And we're also going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, like, different things. Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and talk about that right now.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, for Thanksgiving, which this is totally different than what I'm used to doing. So, in New York, last year and, like, 6 years before that, I've always had a Friendsgiving, which was awesome because I lived in an apartment with three other people.
I really feel like that's something that broke millennials came up with. I feel like that's our thing.
I think it is. Like, Friendsgiving, yeah. It's like, oh, our family. Our friends. Yay, you're our family. But yeah, we would do a Friendsgiving because a lot of us, our blood relatives, lived outside of the state. Mm-hmm. So we would just celebrate and do the thing at our apartment. Now, we cooked the sides, but we always went and we would pick up the turkey.
You would buy a cooked turkey.
We would buy a cooked turkey. We would go to this barbecue spot on Long Island and go pick up our cooked turkey. Mm-hmm. And then we would just cook the sides.
Oh, was it barbecue turkey?
It was a smoked something turkey. Yeah, it was delicious.
Sounds good.
Laura, if you're listening, I know you know exactly what it is. It was some kind of smoke.
So Laura's somewhere like, I know, girl.
She's like, I know. And I will just go ahead and give Laura a shout out because she was the first person that introduced me to spaghetti squash. Mm. She made a spaghetti squash casserole. Mm-hmm. You know I love a good casserole. It was spaghetti squash, garlic, Parmesan cheese, and she like baked it. And it was so good.
I don't even like spaghetti squash, but that sounds good.
Oh my gosh. If you like Parmesan cheese, garlic.
That's exactly why.
Yeah, you would like this. But yeah, so we would do a Friendsgiving. This is the first year where I'm leaving Georgia, and I'm just going to be with my mom and my dad, and then my boyfriend Saxton's coming along too, and we're going to Destin, Florida. Mm. Like, we're just literally going to go
Thanksgiving in the sun.
Yeah, like a beachgiving.
Beachgiving!
It's kind of like, we're like, Thanksgiving? Yeah, bye, everybody. We don't care. We're going to go socially distance ourselves.
I'm so jealous.
I know. Hey, if you want to come, you can come. But we're just, we're going to socially distance ourselves on a beach in Destin. And my mom and I are going to, like, pre-cook everything or prep everything and then just throw it in the oven at the condo and probably just get drunk on Thanksgiving Day.
Awesome. Sounds like a damn plan.
I know. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I don't even know. I have no idea. I never know what I'm doing for Thanksgiving. I mean, it could be Friendsgiving. It could be whatever giving. I just know that the giving that I'm figuring out is the day before. Usually the day before, I'm like, all right, where am I going? I start calling people. What am I doing? But what we'll likely do is we'll get together at my mom's house. She's been talking about cooking one of her roosters that's been acting up. Maybe we'll have some of that rooster on Thanksgiving. I don't know.
did she really?
Straight up. You know, he's been acting. She said that she has to put hands on him every time she goes in the chicken coop because he's always pecking at her. She's like, keep playing. Thanksgiving's coming.
Did she say this in Spanish?
Yeah, of course
she did. How does it sound? I want to hear how it sounds in Spanish.
No, she said, I mean, she was basically like, a ti te voy a cocinar. A ti te van a cocinar. Tú quieres que te cocinen.
You want me to cook you?
You want to be cooked.
That's amazing.
That's some old school country ass Dominican shit right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
So, back to what the episode is actually going to be about.
Uh-huh.
So we talked about music on the last episode. We talked a lot about the origins of bachata and classic Southern rock. Hope y'all enjoyed that. We had a good time. And this week, obviously, we're going to be talking about food. And we're going to talk about some of our favorite dishes, especially around Thanksgiving. But we won't give too much of a history lesson, but we will explain to y'all what some of those foods are so that hopefully y'all can get out and maybe try some at some point. And we have a very diverse group of listeners. You know, hopefully you all can hop on our Instagram and tell us what y'all like. But without further ado, Liz, I know there's a really unique dish that you want to talk about.
There is. So the dish, it is very unique. So I feel like as a Southerner and all my Southern listeners out there, y'all know when we go to someone else's house, someone else's grandma's house, it's the same shit on the table. You got your sweet potato casserole, you got your rolls, you got your stuffing or your dressing, because stuffing and dressing is different.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Kayla told me to make sure I say that.
I think I learned that like 5 years ago too.
Yeah, and she also told me to talk about deviled eggs, which, sorry Kayla, but I'm
Hey Kayla, look, I got you. I love deviled eggs, but we gonna leave that alone.
So you got your deviled eggs. You have like these traditional dishes that you'll find on every Southern spread of a Thanksgiving. But one that was unique to my family that my mama made, it's called corn cheese fluff.
Yeah.
And what it is it's delicious. It's corn, it's egg whites, it's government cheese, like the Kraft sliced orange.
Oh yeah,
like,
I'm very familiar with government cheese.
Like, yeah.
I grew up broke.
Yeah, right. That, and I guess, like, pepper. But it doesn't have a lot of seasoning.
So, where does the fluff come from, though?
So
like, what's the fluff?
Is the egg whites.
Okay.
And this dish requires you to have, like, some sort of, like, science knowledge, because it's like baking.
Everybody, and get your pencils and notebooks out.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a very good job.
There's
going to
be a quiz at the
that.
End.
I know. But because it's baking, and what you have to do is you have to, like, mix the egg whites, like, with a hand mixer,
mm-hmm.
and that's fluff. Mm-hmm. It becomes fluffy. Mm. And then you mix it together with the corn and with the egg yolks and, like, the American cheese. It's like a sauce. And then you bake it for, like, 10 minutes, take it out of the oven, let it rest, and you bake it again. And then that's kind of, like, it's crazy. It's a crazy dish. And that's why, like, after my mamaw passed away, like, mm-hmm. not a lot of people would make it. But my mom attempted it last Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what can't Miss Sharon nail?
I mean, I know. She killed it. And when you, this is why food is so awesome. Because I haven't had that in so long. And then as soon as you bite into it, you're like, oh, my gosh, like. I'm at my mamaw and papaw's house, and I'm 8 years old.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's the best.
Yeah. So it's called corn cheese fluff. I'm pretty sure you can probably Google it, and something will pop up.
Where did this like recipe come? Was it like passed down? Like where did it come from?
So, I asked my aunt about that the other day when I saw her, and she said that she thinks that it's a very old like craft. Recipe mm-hmm, probably mm-hmm. Because my papaw, he owned a Piggly Wiggly. Like my papaw was in the grocery store business
mm-hmm.
like all his life, but so they would get a lot of like, you know, like shitty craft food in those, like yeah. the boxes like that, like the processed
with the recommended recipes
exactly
stuff.
With the recipes on mm-hmm, the back mm-hmm. So I think that it's one of those recipes, because she used to cut out, which I think this is something that, like, a lot of grandparents probably do. Mm-hmm. They would, you know, get a box, you cut the recipe out, and you put it in, like, a folder.
Keep it.
And you keep it. But, you know, you tweak it. You keep it, but you tweak it. So I think that's where it came from. But it's so good. Maybe I'll try to figure it out. And
you can probably Google it. Probably look it up. Right?
Yeah, or just ask my mom.
Yeah. And, yeah, exactly. Your mom knows.
Yeah, I'm just going to be like, Mama, how did you do this? She's going to be like, don't get me started. But one thing that my mom is amazing at is making chocolate chip cookies. So every holiday season, she'll make chocolate chip cookies. It's funny because people will eat her cookies and be like, Sharon, like, how do you do this? How do you make these cookies? These are so delicious. These are the best cookies in the world.
It sounds like your dad's voice. Right, you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it's because my dad would come home from work after giving like a pile of cookies to the people that he works with. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, Sharon, someone gave me, can you believe, someone gave me $20 to have you make them cookies. And mom's like, well, I don't know why they're paying me to make cookies because the recipe's on the back of the chocolate chip bag. And people would
we'll
ask her.
We'll take your 20, though.
Yeah, people would ask her, like, how do you make these cookies? Like, mom's like, shit, I just looked at the back of the chocolate chip bag. I don't know.
I wonder what makes them so special then. Or do people just not follow the directions?
I don't know. There's a couple things that can make them special.
True. True.
But what I'm referring to is love.
Yes. Love.
Enough about me. I'll come back to something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
Let's go towards...
Yeah.
Is there this kind of goes, sorry y'all, we're looking at our slideshow and we're trying to follow along to different things and we're jumping around.
Well, I mean, what we were going to do is talk about some of the Dominican foods now that I grew up with, you know. For me personally, I mean, there's two things that like I really really love and my mom knows this. So much so that my mom uses it to get me to do shit around the house and all kinds of other little favors that she asks of me. But one of those things is pastelón. For those of you who don't know what pastelón is like a Latino lasagna. It's a casserole that has multiple layers of meat. It could be ground beef. But what makes it very different, and I just recently learned this actually, is that we include plátanos. But what I just learned is that there's a difference in the kind of plátanos that Dominican dishes use and Puerto Rican dishes use.
Oh, cool.
Now, the Dominican dish takes sweet plantains, mashes them up, and spreads them along and makes a layer into it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good.
Which I'm already watering at the mouth. Like, I'm trying not to drool on this mic. And then Puerto Rican pastelón dishes, take the sweet plantains the way that they're traditionally cooked, typically. I'm not saying that all Puerto Ricans do this, but typically, they cut them up, and then they just line the plantains one by one next to each other and make a layer out of the slices of sweet plátanos in the way that you traditionally fry them. And that's the layer that they make. Either way, it's popping.
It's popping. Now, do you think it's called pastelón because it's like pasta?
You know what? That's funny. That would make more sense. I think it's called pastelón.
Because it's sweet.
Yeah, well, it has some sweet in it, but it kind of resembles like some kind of like pastry. Like because it's baked. You know what I mean? So pastel is like it's kind of like a pastry, like a treat, like a sweet treat that you bake or something like that. But pastelón, that's that good stuff you get on Thanksgiving. That's the good stuff you get during the holidays. That's the stuff that Bebo has to pay with house chores and manual labor to get. Bebo's Bernard, by the way. But yeah, so there's pastelón, and then there's also sancocho. Mm-hmm. Now sancocho is
oh my gosh, delicious.
I feel like every culture has like a deep pot soup that they make at like family gatherings, and it's or like at big dinners. you know, and it's comfort food, and that's exactly what sancocho is. Sancocho is basically, it's like 60-70% broth, but it's a melting pot of a bunch of different stuff. I mean, the way that my mom usually makes it, she puts oxtail in there, she puts beef in there, she puts chicken in there, she puts yuca, which is like the cousin of the potato. It's another root starchy kind of cassava, if you know what that is.
Yuca's so awesome. Sorry, I just want to like throw out a shout out for yuca. yuca. Sorry about that. Because it's like when you cook it, I love how it shreds.
Yes.
Oh, so good. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. And actually, I wasn't even planning on saying this, but sancocho's popping. Don't get me wrong, but I gotta give a special shout out to my absolute favorite snack, which is arepita de yuca. You're talking about how yuca shreds. Mm-hmm. What we do to make arepita de yuca at my mom's house is we take the yuca, we shred it down with like a cheese grater, mm-hmm. shred it down. We take some eggs, we scramble the eggs, we get a little bit of flour, we put a little bit of sugar, some adobo in it, and then you coat it, in the flour, and then you fry it. And so it's like these fritters, it's kind of like yuca fritters.
Oh, so like when you go to like restaurants, like hip restaurants around, they serve like, like yuca fries? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's
different.
I mean, it's the yuca fries are just yuca cut into like
fried yuca.
It's just fried yuca, but arepita de yuca is like grated yuca, balled up into a ball and fried like a fritter. That,
oh my gosh, that yum. Do you ever dip,
is everything?
Like, do you dip them in a sauce? I love sauce.
No, I eat them. I eat them raw. I eat them clean.
Do they ever come served clean in a sauce?
Nah, we don't really cook them. We don't really eat like sauces with our food like that. Okay. But I'm sure they would go well with a sauce.
It was like a Polynesian sauce or like a Chick-fil-A sauce.
It would honestly go well with like maybe a little hot sauce. Like it would go well with a lot of stuff. But it's so good when it comes fresh out that pan. It comes fresh out that pan. You bite into it and you feel that crispy crunch and it's like a little sweet, a little savory. Popping stuff.
Hungry.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're gonna turn this computer off and go eat in a second.
I know, and then we'll be back.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yep. And it's really, you know, it's really cool because this stuff is it's not anything that's super elaborate to make, you know what I mean? But as long as you got like the right like foundation of, you know, how to put this stuff together, I mean, you can, you know, anybody can really make it. You know, my mom makes guava and cheese empanadas, which are pretty popular. And the funny thing is that Cha-Cha, who is my oldest niece, shout out to Cha-Cha. I know she out here listening. Cha-Cha also makes, she just started making empanadas, which we call patelitos in my family, but everyone knows them as empanadas. She made them from scratch. She made the dish from scratch. The same way you would make pasta for lasagna or something from scratch. And from what I heard, they were amazing. I didn't get to try them. But Cha-Cha, next time you're in town and you come back from college, you come back from school, you come into my house because we're going to eat that. But.
Oh, well, I just want to chime in on that. And okay. Also, while she's showing you how to make that, Josephine, I don't know if you know this or not, but my friend Josephine, y'all, who lives in New York, who's just an amazing human being. She makes empanadas from scratch.
Really?
Yes, that's actually one of the things that whenever we
that
had
is
our
very impressive.
Whenever we had our Friendsgiving,
yeah,
or whenever we would have like a potluck, that's what she would bring.
Oh, that's awesome!
I like no joke.
Look at you, Brosephine. Sorry, Josephine.
Yeah, Brosephine. Yeah.
Call her Brosephine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I should tell them about.
Yeah, because you gotta tell them about gumbo. Got to.
Okay, so when Bernard and I were discussing like this episode and like the different foods that we were gonna talk about and how we can incorporate things that are kind of like parallel, he talked about sancocho and I was like, wow, that reminds, because like what he said, like a lot of cultures have these big deep dish meals that can feed a lot of people.
Usually some kind of stew or something.
Yeah, usually like some kind of stew. Yep. So one that I immediately thought of, which my mom learned how to make when she moved to Louisiana from Virginia, was gumbo, her shrimp gumbo was like shrimp, sausage, anything that's basically left over in your refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I just cooked chicken last night. Let me make a gumbo.
The line yop from the food.
Exactly. It's line yop thrown into the pot.
The night before, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so she would make gumbo. And it's kind of cool because I was looking up, like, the history of gumbo. And gumbo actually comes from the word, I guess you would pronounce it gombo. It's spelled G-O-M-B-O.
Mm.
And which means...
Gombo.
Yeah, gombo, right.
Mm-hmm.
But it means okra in a West African language. So, really, what happened was when the slaves were in Louisiana...
Go ahead, preach, Liz,
right,
preach.
When the slaves were in Louisiana...
Everybody get the choir ready.
And they were in the kitchen cooking. They created what is gombo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made from okra originally. And then, like everything, it, you know, transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And it...
There's a heavy French influence in
right,
Louisiana.
Oh, yeah, right. So there's mm-hmm. also a difference between Creole gumbo mm-hmm. and Cajun gumbo.
Okay.
So my mom learned how to make Cajun gumbo. And the difference that I know so far is that Cajun gumbo is... It has a really dark roux.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the roux. I asked my mom, I said, what do you want me to say about gumbo? And she's like, they need to know, if you ain't got a roux, it ain't gonna do.
Like, word.
Okay, mama. And then I said, so, what's a roux? So, like, I know what it looks like, but I didn't know how to make one.
Mm-hmm.
It's flour, oil, and then all of your... They're called, like, aromatics. So, your aromatics are your garlics, your onions, your bell peppers, your celery. It's like, if you want to impress someone who's at your house and you want to make them think that you can cook, literally just put some butter in a pan or some oil and, like, saute celery, garlic.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, tell them, excuse me, I'll be back. I need to go pick up some aromatics from the store.
No. That's all you have to do. Get you. Okay. Like, gentlemen, listen.
fellas, take right. notes. Take notes. This is
if
free
wanna,
game.
If you want to impress a lady with your cooking skills, you're going to get a pan and some oil, and you're going to saute garlic. It can be minced garlic. It doesn't have to be fresh garlic. It can be like from like the big plastic jug. Minced garlic, onion, and celery. And just stir it with a wooden spoon, and then just have whatever you bought from a restaurant, like in the oven, still warm, but
and just look over at
right,
it.
And she'll smell that and be like, oh my gosh, baby, you smell so good. And you'll be like, oh, thank you so much.
Free game, fellas. Right. Free game.
It
no charge.
It smells so good. So anyway, that's how our roux starts. Mm-hmm. But another thing I wanted to mention about the gumbo is because so my boyfriend Saxton was working at a Cajun restaurant and we were having this conversation with my mom talking about gumbo and stuff. And he was like, oh, also shrimp broth. You need to add shrimp broth because that's how we do it at the restaurants. And my mom's like, well, that's how you do it at the restaurants because y'all got money. I didn't have shrimp broth money. And I said, well, mom, what did you use as your shrimp broth? And she's like, broth? Like, I used the, what did she call it? The Lafayette, Louisiana broth. And I'm like, oh, what's that? And she's like, that's just fucking tap water.
Oh, man, I love Miss Sharon.
I know. So that's how she made it. And anyway, but yeah, that's a couple of stories about gumbo. Any of the listeners out there that know anything about gumbo, I'm sure your family has their own special recipe, how they mm-hmm. do gumbo. Yeah, but I thought the history of it was cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to share that with you guys and then all those funny stories. But I kind of go back to what you were saying, Bernard. So Cha-Cha was cooking from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Josephine apparently made something out of
from scratch.
From scratch.
Mm-hmm. Saxton is like literally currently cooking something for dinner, probably from scratch.
Mm-hmm. All natural, organic.
Exactly, organic. So what do you... I feel like with millennials, we're... Like,
yeah, and we were talking about this the other day. I think the reason, and this is just my own personal theory, but I think the reason that millennials are so enthralled and impressed by clean organic food is because we were given factory made bullshit when we were kids. It was manufactured. I mean, in a stuff that looked like it was in a lab. Like, if you think about it, like, I used to watch a lot of TV when I was a kid. I loved watching my cartoons. And it would break my heart when I would come home and the cable wasn't on. Because I told y'all we grew up broke.
Like, aw, man.
Straight up. But one of the things that I really loved about watching cartoons was about all the commercials and all the food that they would advertise. None of that shit was real. I mean, we had everything from Dunkaroos that is some icing made with like a cookie, Fun Dip that's like a kid's version of crack cocaine or powder cocaine.
What was the stick made of? It was like, I guess it's just sugar. That's it. Sugar and I think
high fructose corn syrup.
Like, kept it all stuck together. And then you just dip it in more sugar.
And exactly.
No wonder we have so much energy.
We got energy. We got all kinds of stuff.
We got diabetes. We got arthritis. We got...
Yo, for real, even like the kid cuisines didn't taste the same. And if y'all, kid cuisines are like the kid version of like the banquet TV dinners and stuff
like
that.
The hungry man.
It's
like
the stuff that
food.
I used to ask my mom for, and she used to be like, "Do you have kid cuisine money?" And I would proceed on with my day. It was like that. And we had green and purple ketchup.
Wait,
too.
I know. Tell them about the logo. Remember how I was like, kid cuisine?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. As soon as Liz said kid cuisine, like, I sang the whole thing in my head. This is how you know I watched too much TV as a kid. Because I sang the whole commercial in my head. But, yeah, didn't you say, you said, oh, look, it looks like, why do they have a duck on here? There's a duck on the cover. And I was like, oh, nah, Liz, that's a penguin. And you're like, oh... Because it's frozen.
That shit's funny to me. I don't care if they don't think it's funny. That's funny.
Fuck it, we laughing.
I know. And then we proceeded to talk. This is how we know we're adults. Wow, the branding. It's so nice. Like, the choice of the animal. And then you fucking knew the theme song.
I was like, I'm 29. I'm almost 30 years old. And I can still recite the whole commercial. It's crazy.
How's the song go?
Oh, well, I knew what the tagline was.
Oh, it's the tagline? Because
all the commercials were different. It used to be...
Maybe we shouldn't say it because they're not going to pay us.
Nah.
Whatever, I guess you can say it.
Yeah. So it was kid cuisine, food and fun, all in one.
What was fun? The stickers? Like, are you serious?
The fucking penguin, maybe? It was a blue tray? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever. I mean... Organic. The point is that organic foods is like a novel concept to us now.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I mean, that was what I dreamed of having when I was a kid. Meanwhile, what was really in the kitchen were all kinds of Dominican staples. You have your Greca, which is basically, Google refers to it as the stovetop espresso maker, which sounds so fancy.
I called it, it's a percolator.
Or a percolator.
It's look, that get that percolator. I
think it's Yin Yang Twins. I know.
I think that's how it goes. Something about a percolator perking.
Something. But we always have Grecas because coffee's really important. We always get that Cafe Bustelo going, that Dominican coffee. Super strong. If you want to stay up for 3 days, drink yourself like, you know, drink like half a cup of that stuff.
So, let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. But when I first moved to New York and I lived with a Dominican family, they had a Greca.
Mm.
And we used it. And then I moved out into a house in Queens and the kitchen was very small. So I went to the 99-cent store, I bought my own personal Greca, and the only coffee I had ever drank since I lived there was
Café Bustelo. Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess I was just, like, stupid, and I didn't read the canister, because I drank it like it was, like, regular coffee.
Hell no.
I would drink it by, like, the cups.
You just did two lines, Liz.
I know,
I did. So, that is way too much Café Bustelo for a normal human being.
And then, like, I had a roommate, and he did the same thing, and he was like, I don't know what kind of coffee you gave me, but I'm literally on the toilet.
That's that other thing.
I was like...
If you're not gonna do nothing else, you gonna shit.
I'm sorry. It's just the only coffee I know since I moved here.
Keep that digestive system regulated.
Right. What else is in a?
Anyway, yeah. So there's the Greca. There's adobo. Everybody knows adobo. And el goyo.
Is that a commercial?
Yeah. That was a commercial for when. Whew, I was like, yeah. But I mean, anyway. Tell us what's in a southern kitchen, Liz.
Okay, so if I'm walking into a southern kitchen, this is how I know I'm in a southerner's kitchen. I see rooster curtains. Like, there's curtains that have roosters on them.
Rooster stuff.
Or chicken. Yeah, that's just rooster right. That's so right. Shit everywhere.
So many kitchens I've been to with rooster stuff.
And in. Then you'll look down, and you're probably standing on a rug that has, like, a pig on it. And, like, something that says, welcome to the farm, when you clearly, like, live in the suburbs. I feel like every southerner just, like, we have this obsession with farm animals.
Yeah.
And wanting to live on a farm.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. It's cool. Whatever. The decor looks nice. Okay. Now I'm in my mom's kitchen. Because it's funny. I told her I was going to say that. And she's like, well, I tore my rooster curtains down. I didn't like them anymore. So you can't say that about me. But.
Sorry, Miss Sharon.
I did tell her. Yeah. But you know what you do got on your walls? Is this collection of little tiny spoons.
Even the Mickey Mouse spoon. I remember the little Mickey Mouse spoon.
I know.
On there.
Right. The Mickey Mouse one, the Elvis one, the this one, the that one.
There's an Elvis spoon on there?
Yes. And apparently it's very important. And she got it like the year that she was supposed to go see Elvis perform. In Nashville. I don't know. There's every little spoon has a little story. Yeah. So you see those kind of things. Crock pots.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
I got hip to crock pots just recently.
They're amazing. So. Mm-hmm. I actually have like two in my cabinet.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I got two.
Yeah, two. Yeah. Well, I guess three if you include the Instant Pot, but fuck her. She's complicated. Give me the crock pot.
Difficult
pot.
Bitch.
I know. I like see a button that says yogurt, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, how? I wish I could just press the button.
We're
going to
put that ass right back where we found you.
I know. Like, I wish I could just press the so do I just press the button and then yogurt happens?
Or, yogurt happens.
It's a mess.
I mean, things just happen in a crock pot, so I don't know,
instant.
Maybe.
Yeah, in a crock pot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last family get together, we had chili from a crock pot. Chili two ways. One was chunky and one was smooth.
Chili two ways.
Yeah. But yeah, crock pots, yep. I don't know. There's a lot of things, but we could talk all day, so we need to wrap up and talk about
why. Well, before we wrap up, I was just gonna say the one thing that's probably in both of our kitchens is a cast iron skillet.
Wow, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. Because I know I use cast iron skillets for everything. My mom uses them for everything. And it just seems like a southern thing. You know, you cook bacon and all kinds of stuff in it.
Now, do you guys season your cast iron skillet before you do anything? Like, because you have to, you know, there's a science. You have to bake it for, I don't.
This is something that I'm not going to say that I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm just being transparent with y'all. Honestly, we wash our cast iron skillets, but we don't wash them like that. We don't really wash them. Because the thing is that you can't just wash it and let it air dry, because then it'll start to rust. So you have to make sure that you pat dry the cast iron skillet.
So you still baby your skillet.
And there's still a little flavor in there.
Yeah, exactly. See.
Stays with the flavor.
Like, I don't personally have one, so I don't really know, like, mm-hmm. the whole technical way to deal with one. So mm-hmm. Kayla, if you're still listening to this far along, I know she's like, girl, I heard on your podcast that Bernard washes his cast iron skillet
barely. Barely.
Barely. Kayla, you can give us an instructional video on how to deal with the cast iron skillet along with our other southern listeners, because I'm sure y'all know. Woo! Anyways.
We got that in. We got that in.
Yeah, we just really wanted to pay homage to the cast iron skillet.
Absolutely, man.
That's something that...
Well, I mean, it's just really important in, you know, in both kitchens. But anyway, we just had to pay homage to the cast iron skillet.
Yes.
So, Liz, why don't you tell our listeners what our next episode is going to be about? Because Just want y'all to get to that turkey.
Okay, got it. So, y'all, next episode. So we have a lot of close friends and family and listeners who are veterans, and we know Veterans Day just passed.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are they veterans, but a lot of our close friends and family are also soldiers that are currently serving.
Right.
And we really like...
Or related to veterans.
Yeah, or related. Anyways, we'd like to pay homage to them.
Yeah.
By having... We have a friend who is a Dominican soldier, and we're going to have him on the episode.
Yep.
He offered to be interviewed, and we gladly accepted.
Yeah.
And we feel like that's our way, especially during the holidays, while a lot of the soldiers are away from home, to kind of like pay homage to them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what better way to talk about the duality of Dominican and American, Southern American culture than a Dominican American soldier, you know?
Exactly. So, I'm pretty sure he lives in North Carolina too. So, yeah. And he's from New York.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're really excited. Really cool guy. So that's a special treat, y'all. Stay tuned next week, cause I'm ready to hear some dope stories.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's been all over the world, so it's right. Been fun. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Everyone who's still hanging on with us, make sure you guys follow our Instagram page. It's at @heyyall_KLOK,
mm-hmm.
spelled
QUELOQUE.
I really had to sound that out.
All right, this has been Hey Y'all KLOK with Bernard.
And Elizabeth.
And we really appreciate y'all stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming through. We can't wait to see y'all next time.
Yo, we're so stupid. Did you snort?